The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And hey, we're back. We took a week off. We were both sick last week. I'm probably still a little nasally, sinus infection. So we just said, fuck it. These guys aren't trying. Why should we?
Pretty much got a mirror of the team, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's Monday afternoon, evening, 5:15. The Yankees just won a series. Against the
big series win
against a playoff team, and that's the momentum you need.
Before an announced crowd of 41,000, which, if you looked at the pictures that were circulating, there were maybe like 2,500 people there. Maybe
you could have sat in Legends for like $130 today. I was looking on StubHub before the game.
That's I would have thought even let so it only it didn't even get under 100 for a Monday rainy 1 o'clock. I feel like that's as low as it'll ever get when they're eliminated.
Yeah, like there was a part of me where I was like, are they going to play this? Like, should I drive up, like just take the day off and just go fucking eat like a pig and just be sitting? Imagine people just tuning in and it's just me sitting there just eating pork chops with my hand.
Crab legs.
Yeah, we got six games left. We're two games above 500. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a close one.
Three in Toronto, three in Kansas City. They're only winning one game in Toronto, max, I think. Maybe that Cole game on Wednesday.
Yeah, and who knows what, like, Kansas City, you know, they just swept the Astros. So who knows what, you know, even what does, like, the rest of our – is Cole going to pitch again?
He's supposed to pitch Wednesday. There is absolutely no reason that man should be anywhere near a pitching mound until February 18th.
Yeah, like – I mean, has he hit his 200 innings?
Yeah, he's locked up the Cy Young Award, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, like that's really all. Yeah, he's at exactly 200 innings. 200.0.
There is nothing, as my parents used to say to me before I was going to do something stupid as a kid, there is nothing good that can come from him taking the ball on Wednesday.
No, nothing positive can happen. There is no situation, like, if he throws a perfect game, it doesn't matter. Like, it does, like, nobody cares. It's like, send him the AAA. They should demote him for the last week of the season so he can't hurt himself.
He's leading the American League in ERA, innings pitched, game started, ERA plus, and whip. Absolute. Oh, and hits per nine. He's got the Cy Young Award locked up. He's finally going to get his first one. Hallelujah. Absolutely no reason. I mean, can you imagine if the unthinkable happens and he suffers a serious arm injury and it impacts 2024? I mean, we've kept saying, like, oh, this is the worst thing, like Dominguez, Judge, but that would just be the ultimate cherry on top.
Yeah, and I know for, you know, most people these things, like, don't matter, but, like, it's crazy with the year he's had. He's only got 14 wins Like, it's just such a bad team that if he, if the team was just better, there would be talk of this. And I know it's not a sub-2 ERA season. And you wonder if the team was playing better, if he would have pitched even better. Because, you rise to the occasion or whatever. But the Cy Young, it's nice for him to get it off his back. We won't, you don't have to think about, it's the thing he's missing. But what a fucking waste of a year.
Oh, absolute waste. And I'll do some quick math for you. So he has 14 wins. He has 32 starts. There were 10 starts where he had at least 6 innings pitched and 2 or fewer runs where he did not get the win. So theoretically, he could be 24-4 right now.
Easily.
Instead of 14-4.
Easily.
Insane.
It's been, some of the young guys have gotten more burn and they've been, getting some pop here or there. Wells with a big home run today. He's got, his 2. I think he's still got a good ways to come, but I think a good offseason and maybe like a good offseason away from any major league Yankees staff could be good. Cause like that swing, that's a swing where now Austin Wells isn't hitting 50 home runs, right? But if he can play a serviceable catcher and find his way to, 25 short porch home runs, I mean, that's amazing.
And we're at the point where you get points for being left-handed at this point. Like, if he was right-handed, I probably wouldn't give a shit about him. But it's like when a guy tries to go to a frat party and he's got, more girls with him. It's like he might be a loser, but it's like, well, at least he's got girls with him. At least Austin Wells is left-handed. It gives him something, even though his negative 0.4 war and his 160 – batting average aren't super inspiring.
No. I mean, it's again, these guys who we're seeing now, like we weren't supposed to see them this year. They're not like there was supposed to be no room for Wells because we were just going to get, into the playoffs pretty easily. I mean, pretty fucking easily. Like, I'm astonished that. I mean, I thought it was easily the division.
I mean, look, Boone and Judge were telling us all year, it's all good. What are we so worried about? It's all in front of us. The turnaround's coming. Turns out we were right. They were wrong. The turnaround was never coming, and it wasn't all good.
So yesterday, obviously, we're eliminated from playoff contention, right? And interestingly, the captain was available to talk to the media.
Okay.
Must have been. I did hear it was like a super moon out, so that's probably why. And one of the quotes was like, we've got a lot of like changes to make. I'm going to be involved in the internal discussions. I've got ideas. I mean, where is he qualified to have ideas?
Well, not only is he doesn't work in baseball or anything, but he's never doesn't know what a World Series team looks like because he's never been in a World Series. If Rizzo said that or like other guys on other teams, Mookie Betts or Altuve or like guys that have won and won consistently, won multiple times. OK. Yeah, I really don't see it. And also, I would have liked to hear that in August when they were scuffling. Like this is so too little too late. Like that game where they blew a 5-run lead against the Marlins or that game that they blew against the Astros that I was at, like what, that was the time to say this is unacceptable. But at that time, Judge was saying it's all good. It's all right in front of us. That's what annoyed me. It's like, maybe you should have said this in mid-August.
So I know with the, with the injuries, there's 6 games left. He's got 35 home runs. So I said at the beginning of this year, how long is it going to be until the first year that he doesn't hit 1 home run per $1 million that we pay him? And it was the first year. And that's what he's paid for. He's paid to hit home runs.
I can't knock him for that. Cause it's what, 35 homers in 105 games. And he's not the reason he's not the reason that we're going home. If we're being fair,
he's not the reason we're going home. That still doesn't make it a good contract.
I agree. We both hated the contract.
Yes. Yeah.
That's obvious. And like part of the reason they're a little strapped is he did squeeze every single possible dime that he could. And I get it. Look, he wants to have kids eventually, future family to feed. I'm never going to knock somebody for trying to get as much money as they can, but it does take away from some of their flexibility.
And a thing that I know is not popular with you know, a lot of people when we say it. But as you look at going into the offseason, and what can we do? What changes can we make? Our batting leader, who also has 25 home runs, is Gleyber Torres, hitting 272. Gotta trade him, right? Like, that's the only value that we have. And because the contract is just not there. The contract is, we don't have the money to give him a big contract. We could save money on not paying him whatever, you know, the $15 million he'd make this year, or what, you know, or whatever he would get in arbitration or settling. Like, you trade him and get anything back because he's not the guy.
It's a perfect sell high. You can finally, like, we almost got lucky that he had this, like, fluky good year. And, God, by the way, this feels like the emptiest 25-homer season I've ever seen. Like, I can't even picture any of the home run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there weren't any, none of them were memorable.
It's not like, oh, yeah, no, remember that comeback when he did it? Like, I remember him throwing the ball into the dugout to end the game. You know, like, I remember a lot of those.
It's a perfect sell high. You have Volpe, you have Peraza. It's the perfect sell high. Get something for him, whether that's an arm, whether that is a left-handed bat. It's a perfect sell high. And Peraza's looked, I mean, I haven't been watching every game consistently, but what I see of Peraza at third, he looks like he can play third or whatever you want to do with him and Volpe. Yeah, I would definitely deal him.
And then, I mean, I guess I assume we're going to maybe talk next week, and this won't be the last one of the season. But, you know, I think that another conversation, because I was just at Charlie Wisco's wedding. Shout out to Charlie Wisco. People want to talk Yankees, you know, if I'm at something like that. Here's my situation. And I had to pick my kids up from my in-laws. So I got to, like, so how those Yankees doing? And a funny thing. I don't know, because you're from the Philly area. My father-in-law has a picture with Dick Vermeil, like they met at an event, and Dick Vermeil's wearing a name tag, and it says Richard Vermeil. I know that's his legal name, but, like, no one's ever called him that. It's very weird. You know, when you talk about what is going to happen, and I think I think I've discussed this with you as well. As you look at Jason Dominguez, who finally had surgery, I've thought more and more about this, to not do whatever you can to get him back in the lineup as quickly as possible. You're making a decision between, when it comes to Stanton, do you want to waste $22 million or do you want to waste $22 million and 500 at-bats? That's really what it comes down to at this point. I think there's been a lot more, like, chatter about trying to find ways to move him. It seems like only the Dodgers or something that, like, he would approve. At least, like, that's what we thought. But I feel like, you know, the fans are really turning on him. He got, like, you know, he wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't, you know, snippy, but he was, like, more stern with the media than I've ever seen, where, you know, he said, like, if people think that I'm not out here, like, trying and working, like, you know, they've got it wrong. And then he was out early for batting practice the next day. I think there's got to be some writing on the wall for him that, like, dude, you're about to come into 2024 and get the Hicks Gallo treatment of getting booed every single time you're up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're a DH that hits 189 with an OBP under 300, and look, I know he works hard behind the scenes in the cage and stuff, but doesn't look hard when he's running the bases, when he's basically has a walker out there. And yeah, it's the at-bats. I think you have to find a way. And it's really the eye test. Like, he is late on every fastball. He could never hit breaking balls. What he used to be able to do well was crush a mistake fastball. And now he's behind on 95. He's behind on 94. The bat speed has just completely deteriorated. The body is broken down. I think you have to find a way to get out from under this guy. I would think that Yankee fans would be almost unanimous in not wanting him back. Like, does anybody want him back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody. All right, so there are definitely going to be people out there who are like, you know, he hit the 59 home runs in 2017.
7 years ago.
You know, but he has a negative war. And when I say 22 million, like, that's what he's getting from us. He's getting another $10 million from the Marlins. This guy's making $30 million a year and playing less than a replacement player.
And you knew that the back end of the day they made this trade, you knew that the back end of the contract would be ugly, but you thought that in either 18 or 19 or 20, maybe 21,
all three, all three.
Yeah.
That's what we were realistically like. We were looking at like, all right, well, we were just right there. Clint's going to come around a little bit more. We've got Stanton. We're ready to go. We're going to win in 18, reload in 19. And then, you know, Cole will come up as a free agent and we're going to get him too. Cause he's been who wouldn't want to join the back-to-back World Series champions.
And we wouldn't have cared. Like, look, the end of the Burnett contract, awful. The end of the Teixeira contract, awful. Guess what? Nobody gives a shit because they won. So it doesn't matter. We would have accepted that. The problem is we didn't get the juice in the front end. That some of the things that'll stick out with me and Stan, like that 2018 ALDS when he was terrible against the Red Sox. And if he had just hit an extra single or an extra double, it seems like that series could have turned. He was great in 2020. And then that was just kind of it.
Again, played less than half the games. He hit 250 and played 23 games.
I meant that DS against the Rays when he
was. Oh, yeah. No, okay. I get yes. it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had some big, like, playoff series where it was like, all right, well, maybe this is going to turn it around. But, you know, when you look at this, he's been here for, what, 7 years, 6 full years, one-time All-Star. And that was to go play in L.A.
Yeah.
And then was injured after that.
Yeah. And with him, you know what I'm really sick of is I'm sick of hearing about how accountable he is. I'd rather him just be good. Like, at some point, you need to actually produce. I'd rather have a dickhead that's hitting 300 with 30 home runs than the guy hitting 190 who's super accountable. It's like the thing with Tanaka and he didn't have his best stuff, but he battled. I'd rather have the guy that has the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. So it's going to be really interesting to see like what happens with him, because I just think on both sides, like he knows, like if he doesn't come out and mash and stay healthy and all of a sudden can run, which is not going to happen.
No,
it is going to rain booze on him starting opening day. And honestly, when you say that, you also have to be like, if he's healthy on opening day,
that's assuming, right. That's assuming he makes it through the 6 week gauntlet. In Tampa, definitely want him gone. And you think about it, they'll have to eat at least 75% of any contract. They're going to get pennies on the dollar back. And other than the Dodgers, I don't see anybody that would really be a fit. Remember, he is a full no trade.
He is a full no trade, which means something. But like at a certain point, you just don't want to get, you know, booed every time you touch the field. So, like, is there a team that would pay him $5 million, like a $5 million scratch-off on Stanton? I think so.
It would have to be West Coast. The thing is he seems picky. Like, he's not going to play in Tampa. He's not going to play in Arlington in Texas. It would have to be, other than Southern California, I don't know where else he would really want to go. He does not seem like a guy that wants to be in a small town.
But, like, would you rather be in a small town, fucking Milwaukee, something like that? Or would you rather get booed every single time, every day in Yankee Stadium, knowing like you can't turn it around?
No, I'm with you. I'd rather go play for the Brewers. And maybe he does need a little bit of a lower key environment. I mean, he thrived in Miami with no pressure in a small market with no fans at the game. He's better as a Marlin than he's been as a Yankee. Maybe it's a better fit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be, you know, I think it could be an, you know, an opportunity for him to go and like reinvent himself and obviously be a lesser player than he, you know, he was advertised for us. But for the team that's paying him $5 million, $7 million, it's still like that's pretty good to have that scratch off ticket.
And Hal did show that he's willing to do it with Hicks and willing to do it with Donaldson. I know it's completely different. Well, Hicks had 3 years left and he cut bait. Stanton will have 4 years left after this, I believe, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So maybe we do have a chance. But it's just like, man, you think about to that day in the winter of 2017 when they traded for him and how excited we all. I remember thinking like, man, we're taking over the world. We're going to win three in a row, like, and you think about that excitement to where we are today. It's just a very steep, dark fall.
Four more guaranteed years, fifth year team option for $25 million with a $10 million buyout.
And his agent did a hell of a job negotiating this.
I mean, he was so young because you also got to keep in mind he's played 14 seasons.
Yeah, he came up pretty young, yeah.
He came up at 20 years old.
Right, didn't go to college, yeah.
As Mike.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want everybody to remember one thing when the Yankees are doing their postmortem presser and Cashman's talking about injuries. When Aaron Judge went down on June 3rd and he crashed into that Dodger Stadium wall, effectively ending the Yankee season, the Yankees were not in first place. They were not in second place. They were in third place. So this idea that they were dominating and everything was great and then Judge got hurt, that's what they're going to try and tell you. That's the narrative that's going to come from the front office. But things were not even really that good at that point. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind.
No, I think that's important because, you know, we had won a couple series in a row. Like, so it seemed like, oh, maybe we could be building on something. But still, yes, a third place team, like a very third place team.
And they were playing fairly well. Like, May was their best month. They had a pretty good May. And it did seem like they were starting to kind of jump off for the summer a little bit. But no, it's not like they were dominating. They were 10 games over 500. And remember, when Judge came back, and this seems crazy to think about, in that Orioles series at the end of July, they were still 6 games over 500. Like, they were still in position to potentially still make the playoffs. So this wasn't just Judge getting hurt. People really need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, if you just look at May, we had swept Oakland, split with the Rays, took 3 of 4 in Toronto, swept Cincinnati, lost a series, lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, but then beat the Padres, won a series against the Mariners, went and won that series in LA, and then just started dropping series rapidly.
Immediately. And let's play another game. So I really don't think Judge going down is the reason, because look at this. If I would have told you the Judge in this season would have a 4.2 WAR, hit .268 with 35 home runs and a .404 OBP and an OPS over 1,000, I'd say we're making the playoffs. Like, I'd say that's good. Like, Judge played well enough. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to hit 60 bombs to make the playoffs.
No, I mean, there's been, you know, a lack of, we'll talk more about, like, next week. We'll probably do like a whole roller coaster of, you know, I mean, Domingo Germán threw a perfect game this year and then also got locked in the steam room drunk. Really, and that was within like
insane.
And in between those, that wasn't too far from each other. And in between, he got suspended 10 games for sticky stuff.
And that, and his steam room thing was, I think, the same week of the Rizzo, that we found out about the Rizzo concussion. Yeah. That was such a shit show. I think it was first week of August.
We've got another guy whose name escapes me right now, who's out on domestic violence suspension.
Cordero, maybe?
Yeah. Like, just what a, and we had Franchy Cordero for a while. Like, it has been such a disaster of a season of just like, if you're not paying like really close attention, you turn on a game and you're just like, who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is Jake Bowers? Like, it was a big, like, who is that guy season. And now, to top it all off, after two scoreless innings yesterday, we could see Frankie Montes as soon as Thursday.
I thought that was like a parrot. When I saw that, I thought I was going to be like a Ball Sack Sports or like Joe Randazzo has the New York porch. Like and they're
that's CBS. Serious. This is CBS. Which, like, you know what? I do it. Why wouldn't you? Don't risk another. Don't risk a real arm. Fucking send that guy out there. And yeah, who knows? Maybe he does something that gets him a big, huge contract somewhere else. Who gives a fuck? But like, you need people to eat innings right now. Let him go out there and eat a couple innings. And I really don't like the talk of like, well, maybe they bring him back on a prove it deal, like a 1 year, like $12 million. Is what?
$12 million.
Like, this guy has done nothing for us, and he doesn't even. It's been a while, so I don't even know that he knows the directions to the stadium anymore. Like, he only did it like three times.
Yeah. No, no interest. Him and Severino, it's like if they figure it out somewhere else, I'm willing to take that chance. I can't pay either of them any more money to not pitch for my team. And with that, obviously the big issues are the bats, but the Yankees are going to have some arms to replace. Like, they have a lot of work to do on both sides. You figure, obviously, Cole and Rodon are locks for the rotation. Sure, Clark has a spot, but obviously they're not bringing Montas back. Obviously, God willing, Severino won't be back. So,
you know, they should be in the market. Herman has got to be gone. So it's away. We've got Nestor, who, like, has the carriage turned back into a pumpkin. Like, we don't know. I hope not. But, you know, there's a reason that he was the guy that he was before, you know, recent success. And now we'll see what's, you know, all that talk of, you know, when he was great in 21, and it was just like, yeah, no, he's just always being like, if you need me to pitch tomorrow, Booney, like, I could do it. I've got a rubber arm. Like, what happened to that rubber arm now?
It's dead. I almost wonder, it's really not the stuff. It's more of just the durability, because he did miss time last year as well. And you wonder, like, is he just better as a long man or a bullpen piece? Can he not handle the rigor of whatever it is, 180 innings? Like, maybe that's a conversation.
Or is there something that could be done in the offseason away from the team so that it's done well, you know, to get him right? But yeah, I mean, we've got Cole. We've got Rodon. Like, he's got a spot in the rotation, but you got to hope that, like, he shows up for that spot. You know, 41,000 people had tickets today. 10 of them showed up. So, and then, Clark has a spot. I mean, there's been so much buzz around King that he's going to be, you know, competitive. But I don't care how well Michael King has pitched in the last month and a half. He's a number five starter anywhere in the league. And to think of like, oh, well, he did that, you know, as we've seen, like, eventually you get exposed, and he will.
And I'm also scarred for, I mean, like, 2021, it seemed like every time he started a game, he lost. I think that was the year he made a bunch of starts. So I'm still a little scarred from that. Also, it's hard to get excited when these guys are doing it in garbage time. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I want, like, I need the like, go out there and show me that you can get me seven innings of two-run ball, not against just, you know, fucking Kansas City.
When they're out of it. And obviously, like, yeah, he's welcome to come in and compete for a spot, but I'm not slotting him in anywhere other than a number five or swing starter. It's honestly the same thing with like Oswaldo Cabrera. Oswaldo Cabrera, they handed him the left field job. He was awful for whatever, 4 months. And then I just saw something. Oh, in his last seven games, he's hitting .310. He's found it. And I'm like, great. Like, that doesn't make up for 5 months of futility. Have a couple good games in garbage time. It's a lot easier to produce in garbage time. There's no pressure. Yeah. There's 20 fans at the game and there's nothing on the line.
So, just like as we think about what we'll talk about for like next week, it's, you know, because I'm sure you and I are both going to start thinking about like what's the offseason look like, you know, like we started in pretty much July thinking about the offseason. Starting pitchers available. Otani not going to pitch next year, not coming to the Yankees. If he's coming to New York, he's going to go to the Mets.
Correct.
They're going to offer him more money.
Yep.
Marcus Stroman.
Hell no. He hates us. We hate him.
Not a cultural fit. Nope. Also has a $21 million player option that there's a good chance he takes. Kershaw, I don't think he's going anywhere, but he's an unrestricted free agent. Charlie Morton, the Braves are talking about exercising his $20 million option.
He's ageless, that guy. He's the guy that threw us like 25 straight curveballs, right?
No, I think
was that McCullers? McCullers.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But Charlie Morton's just like, he's 40 years old. Oh, he's about to be 40, but it just feels like he's been fucking with us because he was there. He was with Tampa. Like, we've run into him a few times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He kills us.
We've got Ryu.
Oh, no.
Which, again, you know, Martin Perez, Lance Lynn.
It's Yamamoto or bust, man. It's Yamamoto or bust.
That really is what it is, because like, as you look at like some of these guys too, it's just like so many of them are just so old, which is not what we need right now. Well, Andrew Haney might be a free agent if we find his $13 million option.
The thing that scares me about Yamamoto is that Billy Epler, the Mets GM, he just signed Kodai Senga, the stud Japanese guy for the Mets who had a really good year. He's the guy that signed Ohtani when he was with the Angels. He has a great rapport with, you know, Japan and going over there and signing guys. And obviously Steve Cohen has more money. Like, I could see Cashman making a full court press on Yamamoto and then Steve Cohen being like, well, here's $10 million more than whatever Hal was offering you, essentially. Like, they can beat us out if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, that's very realistic. I mean, I think maybe there's a shot like Julio Urias, like he's a free agent. He's only 27. He had kind of an off year. But like there isn't really a ton to go after. It is like looking at Japan. If I ask you to guess, how old do you think Mike Clevinger is?
28.
About to be 33.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I also don't want him. He like threw dip spit on his daughter. He's like a real scumbag.
Yeah. He was a guy I wanted for a while before he's had like all these things.
Yeah.
He's got
Arias, the guy you mentioned, I think has had multiple domestic.
Oh, he has too. Fucking all these guys. Just stop hitting women. So you can
put,
although they'd be a perfect fit with the Yankees because of the culture we've built. Well, Jordan Montgomery is going to be a free agent. James Paxton, free agent.
Oh, my God. Paxton's got to be 35, right?
Paxton is where I just lost him. Yeah, he's about to be 35.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot out there. We need a closer. You know,
yes.
We need like a big name closer, which I don't have high hopes for next season. I am excited to falsely get excited about the return of baseball season. I am excited to get excited about going to hopefully like more games than I did this year. I think what I've learned this year is I need to trick myself to go earlier.
That's the key. Yes.
So I get
yes.
the games in. I was like, oh, I'm going to wait because like these guys are going to make it. My kids will be a year older, so it's like easier to dip out and go do stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't really have anything else for this week. Like, it's depressing to see, you know, to see this team just wrap it up and say we're not making the playoffs.
Really depressing. We'll save our full offseason, you know, what we want or what we want to see for next week. But what I'll say here is that I don't want to spend, and you hear this in the NFL a lot, I don't want to give A money to B players. And I think I said this the last time we recorded, but that's exactly what they did after, I think it was 2013. They had these B-level free agents like Brian McCann and Jacoby Ellsbury, and they gave them A-level money because they were coming off a missed playoff season and they wanted to generate some excitement. And that is not – I don't want to see that this year. It seems like the only time that Hal gets aggressive is coming off a missed playoff season. The problem is we just had the stud free agent classes that we pretty much sat out of. This class sucks. This is not – it's not the time to spend, really. You know, there are a couple impact guys that'll be available, but most of the litter is pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, we'll talk about the front office. We'll talk about management, and who knows? I mean, by the time we talk, either late on Monday or Tuesday, and I got to give the biggest update that I know everyone tunes in for. Did I tell you my soccer team's undefeated? Yes, the Swedesboro Woolwich Soccer Association U5. Blue Sharks put it on another team. I'm talking 7-1.
Jeez.
And we had to like pulled kids out of the way to let them get the one.
Blue Sharks is a good, that's a cool nickname. Did you come up with the name or was it assigned?
I just picked, I picked Blue Shirts, and then we were like, what's your favorite? And we let the kids pick.
And oh, that's nice. Look at you.
One of the parents brought all the kids keychains with a blue, with a shark on it, a blue shark on it. So like they got them on their soccer bags.
Nice, man. Nice.
Yeah, 7-1. We got two kids who are just like, if you've ever seen Kicking and Screaming, yeah, it's just this kid. Sure, we did one practice. Kid was there. Kid showed up the next time. He is like he's I don't mean this anyway. He's mixed race. So he's got the same haircut as Patrick Mahomes. He kind of looks like Patrick, a little yeah. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's 3 years old. He's like the youngest kid on the team, and his name, and he's so good. It's like when wow. when the Italian kids come out of the fucking van, they're just like, yo, go that way. And he's just boom, boom, boom. I think he probably scored 6 of the 7 goals.
Jesus.
Yeah, this kid, yeah, kids
rough. Gotta lock him up to an extension.
Right? I'm gonna give him fucking 9 years, $360 million. Well, that's what we got. I mean, we'll be back, I guess, next week. Then, yeah. I mean, this team sucks. This team sucks. Follow Nick on Twitter, at NKirbyNYY. You get your last week of his tweets before he does his hiatus, his annual offseason. I'm turning off the app for a bit. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. And I don't know. I don't know who's having a parade. Maybe we'll make some predictions next week. I don't know any of these fucking teams. Whatever. We'll see you at some parade.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.